In your Bibles. And you know, I'm just not sure where this message is going to go. I'm just really not sure where it's going to go. I think I know, but I changed it last night when I got home from the basketball game, and I am happy to say we only have one casualty this year, and she's sitting down here. She's sitting down here, but she did a great job last night, yesterday, in that youth basketball game, as did the rest of us, did a great job, but this year I do not have the cast. Somebody else has it on. So hallelujah, praise the Lord. We only had one casualty, and I think Tracy's husband, Chad, is he wearing his glasses this morning?
He is wearing glasses.
Okay, hallelujah, because he busted those up last night. So, read with me in 1 Peter 2. Let me set the context. This book is written, we believe, about the year AD 63, 64. To those who know something about history in that day and time, particularly in the Middle East and in the church, that was this book was written right before or just in the middle of the persecution that happened to the church by the Roman Empire. In AD 64, Rome caught on fire. And Nero, who was the deranged emperor at that time of Rome, he blamed it on the Christians. And although Christians were being persecuted up until that time, once they were blamed by the emperor as having been responsible for that fire, persecution, the Christians experienced persecution like they never had before. In fact, probably Paul has just been martyred, even as Peter writes this. Paul has probably just been martyred, and Peter is probably going to be martyred a year from now. And so what happened, the context is a very, very difficult time. You know, one of the things that I've already talked about in here as a part of the Lord's Supper is struggle and the difficulties of life. Because I don't know about you, but to me, life just doesn't go according to plan. And there are oftentimes things that just go wrong. And it's, you know, I just say, Lord, where are you in this? You know, it's like we have those experiences and you know, we need to be able to rise above them. Well, that's exactly what Peter's doing in this book. He's telling the church is in Rome. It's referred to as Babylon. That's sort of like it was a code word for Rome in those days. It's referred to as Babylon in, I think, the fifth chapter of 1 Peter. And so he's writing to the Christians in Rome who are experiencing persecution, and he's trying to help them to see that, you know what, I know life is not going the way you expected it. It's just not going that way. But let me assure you that God knows exactly what you're going through. And even though you're going through it, that doesn't change who God is and who you are in His sight. And so that's sort of the context of where it is. And so in this chapter, but to me, God is. Oh, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Let's look at the scripture. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Therefore, he says, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. He's talking to the church. He's saying, church, put all these things aside. Put all these things aside and instead do this. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. You know, if there's milk home in my refrigerator and I am longing, I can't wait to get home and drink some milk. You know what? That's exactly what he's talking about. He says, long for the pure milk of the word. He wants us to long for getting in the word of God just like that, see. Long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. If you've tasted the kindness of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, then if that's the case, see, then you need to be in His word, see. Verse 4, and coming to Him, as to a living stone which has been rejected. Wait, whoa. Coming to Him as a living stone? You ever thought of Jesus as a stone? I'm supposed to come to Him as a living stone? What is that about? Come to Jesus as a living stone, a rock, which has been rejected by men, which Jesus was. At this time, the Jews had rejected Him. The people He came to, they had rejected Him. The believers, Christians, Christ followers had not, but they were in the midst of persecution. but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, interesting, Jesus is the living stone, and we also are living stones. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. My guess, some of them read that statement and said, I'm being built up. I feel like I'm being torn down. You are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, that would be Christ, this became the very cornerstone. And in the same sense that it became a cornerstone, it became a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. It's interesting to me how I can read a scripture that was written almost 2,000 years ago about Jesus Christ being, on the one hand, a precious stone to me and in the sight of God, and also this same Christ is a rock of offense to those who don't know him. Has that not been fulfilled historically? It's like, how do I know the Word of God is true? How do the Word of God know the Word of God is going to speak to me? How do I know if I get my head in it that God's going to feed me through it to get me through life's struggles and lift me up out of my despair? Because you know what? History even proves what this particular scripture says about Jesus. He is a rock and a stone that offends people. Verse 9. But you, on the other hand, he says, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's like, on the one hand, this is how they have rejected Jesus, and by the way, they're going to reject you, but rather than consider and think on how you've been rejected, think about the mercy of God, and think about the chosenness of God, and the calling of God. Here's the first point I want to make to you this morning. God has chosen Bethany Church. God has chosen this little church. If God has chosen this little church, and I believe that with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength, that God has literally put his hand on this little church. Does that mean God hasn't put his hand on other churches? No, it doesn't. I'm simply saying to you what I know to be a fact. God has chosen this church, and one of the evidences of the chosenness of God is what we have already experienced in this place this morning. We have experienced the deep, abiding presence of God among us. God has chosen us. And notice what Peter says to the church in Rome in the midst of the context and the situation that they're in. Look at verse 9. Look what he says to them. He says, however, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. What he said to the church in Rome that was chosen by God is the same thing that he says to you and I today. And why does that matter? See, how does that verse go? As a man thinks within himself, so he is. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. That is, whoever you see yourself to be, you become a self-fulfilling prophecy as to who you are. I know that in athletics. I know that in singing. I know that if I think I can't hit that note, I won't. I will not come close to it. It doesn't make any difference who's standing beside me on the right, who's standing beside me on the left. If I don't think I can hit the note, I won't. I will not be able to do it. I won't be able to do it. Because as we think within ourselves, so we are. So let me ask you a question, brothers and sisters. Do you believe the church you're a part of is called of God? Now, I'm not asking for verbal confirmation. I'm just saying, do you believe that in your heart of hearts? You see, because if God, if that is true, and you believe that in your heart of hearts, you know what that also means? That means you are also called and chosen because you are here. That means you're not here by accident. That means that you are here by purpose, on God's purpose, God's plan, because God has chosen us to be the people of God, a chosen race, for a people for God's own possession, a holy priesthood. Okay, hear me now. You know what that means? When he says it's a holy priesthood? Now, what he said, when he wrote that to the people in Rome, to that little church, how many priests do you think they had in that church that day? One? Yeah. In the body of Christ. How many priests do you think they had? Let's suppose they had 50 people. How many priests do you think they had in that church? One. 50. Come with me. 50. Not one. See, that's part of our problem today. You see, we see those who are called and chosen of the Lord as the clergy types. Now, I will have to tell you right now, I think I have got the best staff this side of the world. Okay? And you know why they're so good? Here's why they're so good, because every single one of them believes himself to be called to this particular body of Christ. It's not about the money. It's not about the money. It's not about the benefits, which are zero. It's not about any of that. See, it's because they sense themselves to be called. And because they sense and believe themselves to be called to this location, as I do and have always felt, because I feel that way, because they feel that way, you know what happens? That, you know, it's nothing about a 40-hour work week around here. What we do is what God leads us to do, God calls us to do, and as the opportunities present themselves, it's exactly the same way for you, brothers and sisters. Are you called here? Because if you're called here, see, that makes all the difference as to how you see yourself as participating, as celebrating, as worshiping, because you see yourself as called, chosen. That means there's a reason why you're here. And it's not about the clergy, because the scripture says, he says, you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. You know, why don't we go get some purple Easter pageant robes and let's wear them in the sanctuary, because maybe that helps us to all know that we are a called out people, a priesthood, every single one of us. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ and he has brought you to this place, you're called. And I would give you some evidences of that. Look around and look at the diversity in this congregation. See, why is that an evidence? Because here's the reason. It's because when the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached, lived, and taught, what happens is it crosses all barriers. It's not about us coming to a club and everybody's called, everybody's white, and everybody's wearing, you know, a coat and a tie, and you know, it's like we're all the same, because you see, sameness attracts people. We're more comfortable if we're the same. Well, how do you explain diversity when we're more comfortable if everybody's the same? Unless the Spirit of God is moving in this place. You can't explain it, see. Diversity, when the gospel reaches and crosses all barriers, that means that that God has somehow done something in this place and in this people of God. God's presence is here. The staff has a sense of calling here. That means you ought to have a sense of calling here. There's diversity in this place, and people love the Lord. People have told me they walk into that door and they sense the love of God in this place. And praise the Lord, Judy Baylor leads us in that way. How many of you today, raise your hand, have already had a hug from Judy Baylor? Judy, if you look at that, look at those hands. It's like the love of God, it's like the love of God needs an instrument through which it is poured out. Here's what you and I need to understand. All of us have exactly the same Holy Spirit that Judy Baylor does. The only difference is she has no barriers to putting her arms around you and loving you. Point one, God has chosen this church Point number two, but what has God called us to be? Notice verse 5. He says, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house. What in the world is a spiritual house? You're being built up as a spiritual house. You know, this is bricks and mortar. I mean, you know, this building is all bricks and mortar. What does he mean that we are being built up as a spiritual house? See, because I've been to some churches, and I'm not so sure I would call them much more than, are we a club, you know, like a chess club? You know, I sort of started playing chess lately. I used to do a long time ago, but my grandson introduced me to it again. I'm sort of enjoying playing chess. It's just like a chess club, see. Well, we all come and we all come to be entertained. We all come because we won't play chess. Or is this a bridge club? You know, we sit around tables and we talk and we drink coffee, you know, play cards. Is this a bridge club? You know, is this a bacon club? You know, you understand where I'm going with this, see, because we're not called to be a club. We're called to be a spiritual house. And there's something totally different with a club and a spiritual house, see? Because with a spiritual house, what brings us together is not chess or bridge or bacon, but it is Jesus Christ. That means that we are called to this place because of the cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ. We are a spiritual house. The reason why we are called to this spiritual house is found in verse number 9. Look at verse 9. Here's what he says. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that what? So that what? Say it out loud. Anybody got proclaim in your translation?
Proclaim.
Raise your hand. Okay, let's do this together. So that you might proclaim. We are a spiritual house. We are a royal nation, a holy nation, a priesthood, a holy priesthood, the people of God, for his own possession. For what purpose, see? What purpose? To proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ. That's why we are here. We are here. We are called and chosen. We are covered. We are anointed. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? To proclaim. To proclaim. Do you see that as your purpose here? See, because my sense of it is that we see our purpose as, well, you know, we come to this church and we enjoy the music, we enjoy the preaching sometimes, you know, and they got a good youth program, got a good music program. You know, we come because of the things it offers us. That's not what it was in the Roman church, brothers and sisters. Now, they came, they were there because what they had in common was Jesus Christ, and their purpose in coming was so that they could proclaim Jesus Christ. You see, let me sort of explain what I think my role is, the staff's role is, and what our role is. And here's what it is. It's like, to me, our role, the staff role, is to make sure you have a means or a method whereby you can proclaim Jesus Christ. Okay, what's coming up next on the church calendar that everybody's going to be a part of? What was that? What was that? Mother's Day? Well, that's coming, but that's picnic. Picnic's coming. Well, what do you thought about that picnic? Think what you've thought about whether you can come? Well, let me say, let's suppose we change the way we think about it. Let's suppose instead of you and I thinking, well, you know what? I think I'm going to come because I hear Mission Barbecue is going to be the dish. I'm going to come because Mission Barbecue is coming. Maybe that's why I'm coming. Well, what if we change the way we think about that, see? Because that's what I'm talking about. See, the church, the people in God's church have to change the way they think. Because the way we think, come with me, the way we think is, how does this work for me? Hey, Walking Dead series, did that work for you? You understand what I'm saying here? See, that worked for you. Because we have taught you that. Now, I'm telling you, the purpose of us coming together is so that we will know who we are in Christ. We are a spiritual house of God. We come together because of Jesus Christ, not because we're going to play basketball, not because we're going to play chess. No. We come together because of Jesus Christ so that we can proclaim Jesus Christ to the world. The staff's role is, hey guys, you know what? We got a picnic coming up, and here's what we want you to do. We want every single person to tell someone, hey, you know what these guys got? They got Mission Barbecue coming. You're going to really like Mission Barbecue. You should come to our picnic. See? You proclaim. You bring the people. In Rome, think about this. In Rome, Christians are being slaughtered. And these people are being told that they are called to be the people of God so that they can proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. How does that fit with whether or not we open our mouth for Jesus, see? Because I think the way we open our mouth is only if we can do so and nobody will think we're offensive. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You know I'm not telling us to be offensive. I'm telling us that, you know what? God's called us here. He's brought us here. He's anointed us here. He's blessed us here so that we can proclaim who He is. Now, do you have that in your head? Because if I can help you to get that, you will experience the life that Jesus brings. See, as long as our life is focused on how bad things are for us or what we don't have, you will never experience the life of Christ. All you will experience is what you don't have. Whether it's how bad your marriage is, or no one takes you, no one appreciates you, or how school is you got to go with me here. If we can take our eyes and put them on Jesus Christ, you will experience the double blessings of the only begotten Son. That's what He's saying. That's why He says this. It's a powerful image. Notice what He says. He says that Jesus is the cornerstone. Okay, now I don't know a whole lot. You got to stay with me here this morning. I'm telling you, we're going to have to stand over here by someone to help them a little bit. Okay, here's what He's saying. He's saying Jesus is the cornerstone. I don't know much about building, but I know this because I built one little playhouse one time way back when. Way back when. Okay, here's what I discovered. That very first concrete block I laid determined how out of balance or out of square my little playhouse was going to be. Okay, because every single block that was laid right beside it was to line up right beside it and to square at the corners, just like that. You see, Jesus is the cornerstone that you and I are lined up with. That's what He's saying. Jesus is the cornerstone, and what you and I do is we line up with Jesus because He is a living cornerstone. He's not a piece of dead rock. See, sometimes I think you and I are sort of like dead rocks. See, I'm a dead rock because all I do is I just want to know what the church is going to do for me. See, I'm a dead rock. No, that's not what you're called to be. You're called to be a living stone. What is a living stone? Well, first, I'm going to line up with Jesus. That's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to line up with Jesus. But the second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. Can we see the graphic just a moment? This is a graphic that I showed you several weeks ago. Joshua, the graphic. Okay, and I'm not sure how well you can see this, but I'm going to just show you one thing at the very top of this graphic. The very top of this graphic, it says, you and I, this is our next step wheel. What do we got to have? You got to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. You have to have an encounter. You know, it's like to me, what I experienced this morning in the worship, I've already had an encounter. I've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. What he's talking about here, the encounter he's talking about, is found in the second verse of 1 Peter 2. Look what he says. He says, like newborn babies. We got lots of newborn babies in here. Any newborn babies? Are there any breastfeeding babies in here? No breastfeeding babies? Got one right there? Could you mind standing and holding that little baby up? Okay, now let me ask you a question. Do you think, hello, how you doing this morning? Good morning, how you doing? Yeah, I know. Yeah. Do you think that baby knows when he gets close to his mama's breast? That baby knows what his mama's milk smells like. And when that baby gets close to mama, what do you think that baby starts doing? That baby moves to mama, if you understand what I'm saying. Because that baby craves his mama's milk. You can sit down. Thank you, sir. You know what the scripture says? We are supposed to be like that baby. Do you crave God's word the way that baby craves his mama's milk? That is what he's saying. You want to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit? You must get into the word of God. It will not happen another way. I'm speaking to you based on what the Word of God says, and I'm speaking to you based on what I've experienced. I have found that in order to crave the Word of God, the first thing I got to do is read it. The second thing I've got to do is I got to read it according to a pattern and a habit. You know, my guess is that baby has a pattern as to when he's going to feed. You need to have a pattern. You know what? My pattern is every morning early. It's going to be the first thing I'm going to do. And I have found when I'm laying in the bed at 5:20, clock goes off, and I hit that 10-minute button. You know what happens to me to keep me from hitting that 10-minute button the second time? I'm thinking, you know, oh, I really want to go be with the Lord. I want to go be with the Lord. So I'm getting up because I want to sit with the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? See, I promise you, if you will just try it. Now, let me just give you a pointer too, though. Don't start in the book of Genesis. Yeah, that's the first book of the Bible, but that's not the first book I'm going to go get some food from. You know, for me, I got my special places. But if you've not done that, let me just tell you where to start. You go look at the book of John. And when you read the book of John, don't read the book of John so you can complete a chapter. See, that's not the object of this thing. The object, the motive, the objective, rather, is for you and I to feed. So you know what? If feeding means you look at two verses, read the two verses, sit on them, saturate them, meditate on them, enjoy them. Ask yourself this, God, what are you saying to me in this verse? Because you know why I changed this sermon last night? The first thing I said to myself, I wrote it down. I said, God, what are you saying to me? And what God said to me is tell them that I have called and chosen Bethany Lane Baptist Church. Because why does that matter? Why does it matter? Listen to me. Because God has chosen this church, that means he's chosen you here. And what that also means is that there's a double reason why you ought to feed on the Word of God. Because you know what? We're called here to this place to be a spiritual house. It is as if, because God called you here, and we are called, it adds the importance and the responsibility that you have to feed on the Word of God. Because the more of us are living stones as opposed to dead stones in a spiritual house, you know what? The more we're going to do on behalf of the only begotten Son. You say, well, Pastor, I don't even know the books of the Bible. Who cares? No, that's not true. I care. But you know what? Start in the book of John. There's no, how do we grow in Christ? But we start somewhere. Okay, so the first thing I'm saying to you is, you know what? You got to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. The next thing is you got living stones. You know what that means? Living, you know, okay, let's see, who's a builder? Who's a builder? Okay, Dave. What's behind the drywall? Okay, what is a stud? 2x4? Standing up? Is it connected to other studs? So you mean to tell me in order for that wall to stand, I got to have two 2x4s standing vertical and then a 2x4 connecting them? Is that close? Huh? Got a top plate and you got a bottom plate and they're all connected. Okay, let me ask you a question. This is Alicia. In order for Alicia to be a living stone, you know what's got to happen? She's got to be connected to Dale. Dale's got to be connected to Dawn. Tom's got to be connected to Dale. You got to come with me here, you see? Because we got a whole bunch of living stones that are not living because you're not connected to nobody. The only way that wall stands is because it's connected. You got 2x4 studs that connect to other 2x4 studs, and because they all connect, then the house stands. How is it possible for a spiritual house to stand if nobody's connected? And let me ask you this question. I said to you a minute ago that we are very diverse in this church. You know what that means? That means that it is much more difficult for us to connect because we're so diverse. Exactly what brings us together is Jesus Christ. And so why does he say we're living stones that need to be connected? Because he knows, in fact, in this book, he calls them aliens in a foreign country. You're all aliens in a foreign country. So who are you going to be able to connect with but another alien in this place? So how many of you, and don't raise your hand, how many of you are not in a small group? How many of you are not in a... How many of you don't come to a Wednesday night Bible study? Or a Thursday morning or Tuesday night prayer or a Monday afternoon? You understand where I'm going with this, see? Because, see, here's my sense. My sense is the body of Christ may know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. We may know that. We're not quite sure we know about this business, about the church is not so much about my like or my dislike. It's for Jesus Christ and the spiritual house we're building up. You know, we might be there, but connected? See? No, we're not connected. So, Brian, you connected to Dave, aren't you? Yeah. Yeah, you guys are friends, aren't you? Well, are you connected to Evan? No? Okay. Okay, Noah. Noah, what are you connected in here? How are you connected? Connected to Pam. Connected to Pam? Okay, that's cool. Anybody else? Oh. Are you connected to Chase? Because, see, actually, connection has nothing to do with generations. Amen. Come with me. I'm telling you, we got it all backwards. No, he says to be connected. The graphic. We have to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. We got to grow in Christ. We've got to be connected to one another. We got to belong. Have a sense of commitment. Why does that make sense? You see, because we're called as a spiritual house to be built up for the purpose of proclaiming Jesus. Everything fits. But if we decide we know better, the model doesn't work the way God designed it. Now, I am praying that the Holy Spirit of God has just fallen on you and me and convicted us. Because, see, conviction is of the Spirit, and it calls us to say, God, you know what? I hear you. I'm going to change that. You see, until you get to the place where you say, God, I'm going to change that and get in line with you, see, then everything I've said is like someone playing basketball, and like yesterday playing basketball and just sitting up on the field watching everybody else play. No, he's called you to get in the game. Now, you know what? You may not be like CJ and can just drop them in. You may not be like Paul that can do the same thing. You may not be like Johnny and can muscle everybody out of the way. Maybe what you do is you just like me and you get the ball and you get rid of it as quick as you can. You get rid of it as quick as you can so before somebody takes it from you. Okay? But at least you're in the game. At least you're connected in on the team. I'm telling you, God's got things planned for us we haven't even imagined. He's got a vision for us we're not even close to seeing. How come? Because we're not connected. Not participating. We got this to do and that to do and this to do and that to do. And we're busy with everything that Satan throws in our hands and our lap because he doesn't want us to get busy in the kingdom of God. So what you going to do with that? What's your next step? You know what? If you want to have a craving for the hunger of God and you don't know how to do it, you email me. I'll help you. Okay? You want to be a part of a group? You email me. You email Dennis. You just email us. You want to know something about Wednesday night Bible study? You want to know something about prayer? Just let us know. Okay? You know what? It's like move to it. Come to it. That's your next step. Let's pray.